Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Thursday morning. It's October 14th. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo here this morning on Catholic Connection here on EWTN Radio. I want to put a shout out to my Aunt Jacqueline this morning. It is her birthday, so happy birthday to my Aunt Jacqueline Giannakopoulos. And I have to say happy birthday because, you know, I have cousins all over the country listening. I know my Aunt Kathy in California listens to Catholic Connection, and my Aunt Natalie in Ohio listens to Catholic Connection. So it's my Aunt Jackie's birthday. We have a lot of birthdays in October in our family. So my sister Shanna's birthday was the 10th of October. My sister Sandra's birthday was October 12th. My Aunt Jacqueline's birthday is today. My cousin Kristen's getting married on October 30th. So much going on. I know I'm missing a ton of birthdays in October. My sister Veronica usually has a calendar for all of us, and she has all the birthdays throughout the whole year. And June and October are a ton of birthdays in our family. So happy birthday to Aunt Jacqueline. We have a lot going on here on Catholic Connection, and I'm really excited to say that the seventh episode of God Speaks to Us is the next episode for Catholic View for Women on EWTN. It airs Sunday, October 17th at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday, October 18th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to the CatholicViewForWomen.com to get previous episodes. You can DVR the shows and watch it later. I really encourage you to do that. Share that with your friends and family. I'll put it on my communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Denha-Garmo Facebook page. You can share it there. I also tweeted about it. You can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. And I always share information on EWTN shows and programs and information that you hear on the radio and the Catholic View for Women. So you can find that information there and share it with your friends and family. We have a wonderful show lineup here coming up on Catholic Connection. But I also want to mention, if you kind of need a break after the holiday season, consider going to a five-star Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida, with Teresa Tomeo and Kelly Wahlquist for Wine and Shrine, because they're heading south. They're going to Florida, Palm Beach, January 4th to the 7th. You can join them for some elegant fun and faith-filled pilgrimage in the sunny beach, Palm Beach, Florida area. And so they're inviting you, all sisters in Christ, to join them. And it's a perfect time to take a break after the holiday season. And if you live in places like cold Michigan, where I live, that'd be a great thing to do. So coming up here in the National Hour here on Catholic Connection, we have a couple guests joining us this morning. One, we'll be talking about a Catholic guide to spending less and living more. Sam Fetzinger will be joining us. She's an author. Her and her husband, Rob, are the parents of 14 children, and they are the grandparents of 7. Their financial success story has been featured in many publications, including The Washington Post, Marketplace, Epic Pew, The Oakland Press, The Daily Mail, Girlfriends, and then EWTN's Pro-Life Weekly. These are wonderful stories about, you know, kind of living below your means, which I'm a big proponent of. Sam is a homemaker and a homeschooler who serves as a principal of St. Peter the Rock Homeschool Tutorial and as a parish family retreat and homeschool coordinator. Rob is a software quality assurance manager at Mantech International, and they live in Maryland. And, you know, my husband and I was just saying this earlier, my husband and I always talk about people who live beyond their means. And, you know, neither one of us can do that. And it's really a blessing that both of us think the same way when it comes to spending money. We do live below our means. We're not big spenders at all. I mean, we like to have fun and go out, but, you know, we've never been extravagant in our spending. And like TT, I love to find a good deal when it comes to shopping. So we look for, you know, sales and stuff. And there's been a ton of research out there that the wealthiest people in the world live below their means. It's saving, you know, penny saved is a penny earned. You heard that saying before. So I think it's so important, and it's a lesson that we need to teach our kids. I mean, because they don't learn about finance really in school. I actually think there should be finance and economics classes starting as young as even middle school or maybe even younger about saving money. Many years ago, I got my daughter and my niece Kira and my niece Leah piggy banks when they were young. And it was a third, a third, a third. And it was divided up in three sections, this piggy bank. And Elena still has it. My daughter Elena still has hers. And a third is money you're going to spend. A third is money you're putting in the bank, so save. And a third is money you're going to share to buy gifts for other people or give to charity. And it's a great way to manage your money. And so when Elena would get, you know, allowances or earn money for doing something or at birthdays or any occasion, we would split this money up a third, a third, a third. And then when she got to $100, we would put that $100 savings into the bank, a bank account, which I have since told her will be her gas money when she gets to college and her spending money when she gets to college. So we divide it up in a third, and it's a great lesson for kids. So I'm really excited to talk with Sam about A Catholic Guide to Spending Less and Living More. And then we have another guest joining us here in the National Hour. If anyone you know or if you yourself has lost a child to stillbirth, miscarriage, or SIDS or any other cause at any point during a pregnancy or infancy, you can join this Awareness Month in October. It's Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. That's what we're talking about here on Catholic Connection this morning with Dr. Michael Lena Fredenberg. Tens of thousands of families across the United States are devastated each year by the death of their baby. But the grief of these families and the value of their babies' lives are rarely ever acknowledged. In 1988, U.S. President Ronald Reagan declared October as a month to recognize the unique grief of bereaved parents in an effort to demonstrate support to the many families who have suffered such a tragic loss. So Dr. Michael Lena Fredenberg is the president and CEO of Life Perspectives, and it's a global authority on reproductive grief care. She's one of the world's foremost experts on reproductive grief care and pregnancy loss. Michael Lena is a published author, lecturer, and speaker, and has appeared in more than 100 radio and television programs. She's here with us this morning on Catholic Connection to talk about October's Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, and October 15th is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Day. So much to talk to all of you about here on Catholic Connection. I hope you stay with us for the entire hour here on Catholic Connection, and we're heading into 8 minutes past the hour, and it's time to get to the news. President Biden is trying to get a handle on bottlenecks involving the shipment of goods to the U.S., NBC's reports from the Port of Los Angeles.
These massive cargo ships are waiting to unload thousands of pounds of goods, everything from electronics to bicycles to that Christmas gift you may have gotten for someone.
It's linked to pandemic-related problems with the global supply chain. Speaking at the White House yesterday, the president noted the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are running 24/7 operations in an effort to reduce supply ship traffic jams. The West Coast ports account for 40% of the shipping containers entering the United States. Some top U.S. shippers and retailers have agreed to do more offloading and stocking of supplies during off-peak hours. The president acknowledged growing concerns about the upcoming holiday gift buying season. He also argued the nation must start making more things in America to reduce reliance on global supply chains. Family members of Gabby Petito are in Wyoming to bring back her remains, Scott Pringle reports.
Family members of Gabby Petito flew from Long Island to Wyoming yesterday. This is after an autopsy revealed Petito died by strangulation in late August. The death ruled a homicide, and it occurred several weeks before her body was found. Petito's family is expected to meet with investigators while in Wyoming to get an update on the case. Petito had been on a road trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. He's a person of interest but remains missing.
The Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services is releasing recommendations for improving the safety and care of nursing home residents. HFS official Kelly Cunningham says the pandemic is a key reason for focus on dangers in the system.
Black and brown customers were disproportionately impacted by disease and death because they were more likely to reside in poorly staffed facilities and in ward-style rooms containing three or four beds.
One recommendation calls for increased funding to hire more staff and offer better pay to reduce turnover. A federal advisory panel meets today and tomorrow to consider booster shots for people who got the Moderna or Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. It'll also look at the safety and efficacy of mixing and matching shots. For example, giving a Moderna booster to someone who got the J&J vaccine. The CDC has already approved Pfizer booster shots from millions after data showed the vaccine's effectiveness starts to wear off after 6 months. The Archbishop, who oversees Catholics in the U.S. military, is defending service members who refuse to get the coronavirus vaccine based on religious grounds. Archbishop Timothy Broglio responded this week to the recent Pentagon mandate requiring armed services personnel to get vaccinated. Broglio acknowledged widespread support of vaccinations among the church's hierarchy, but pointed to concerns in some Catholic circles about the makeup of the vaccines. Some manufacturers use cells originally derived from aborted fetal tissue from the 1970s and 1980s. Brooklyn Nets star says he's upset that the team won't let him play until he gets a COVID shot. Noam Layden has more.
Kyrie taking to Instagram Live to speak one-on-one with his fans. He says he's okay with the vaccine, but not the mandate that dictates he must roll up his sleeve.
You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? You think I want to give up my livelihood because of a mandate?
New York City has a COVID mandate in place that only allows COVID-vaccinated people into restaurants, theaters, and big-scale arenas like the Barclays Center where the Nets play. The Nets have told Irving, get the shot or sit out the season.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is slamming the federal government for rising gas prices and inflation. The Republican recently said we should be using the resources we have in this country, citing pipelines that have been shut down. Several economists say supply chain issues may be resolved by the end of the year, with inflation leveling off shortly thereafter. A new report says Americans should prepare to get hit in the wallet while heating their homes this winter. Brian Shook has more.
The U.S. Energy Information Administration says households will spend over 54% more for propane, 43% more for home heating oil, and 30% more for natural gas this winter. Their forecast reflects a surge in energy costs, especially in oil and natural gas. This comes on the heels of already increasing prices nationwide, as consumer prices increased more than 5% in September from a year ago.
Men and women who risked their lives to protect the nation's streets are being honored today. The names of more than 400 fallen officers from 2019 and 2020 have been added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in D.C. Of that number, 182 died from coronavirus last year. A candlelight vigil will be held tonight as part of the National Police Week. Some are trying to get the memorial to be included on the national tour guide. Americans are voluntarily quitting their jobs at a record rate. Mike Bauer has more.
It's frustrating for us to hear somebody say, yeah, I don't know if I want that job. I might wait for something better.
That's frustration from Eugene Lupario of SVS Group Work Placement. With the number of Americans who left their jobs spiking to more than 4.3 million in August, which is about 3% of the entire workforce, the highest on record dating back to December of 2020. Quits from workers in bars and hotels jumped 21% compared to the previous month for a total of 900,000. And August saw a 6% jump in retail workers leaving their jobs. While industries such as manufacturing, construction and transportation and warehousing, quits have barely increased.
It is 13 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. We're going to take a quick break and be right back to talk about a Catholic guide to spending less and living more. Stay with us, everyone.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is They Might Be Saints, Father Michael McGivney. Miracle hunter Michael O'Neill follows the trail of Father Michael McGivney, founder of the Knights of Columbus and America's first parish priest to be beatified. This documentary explores the miraculous cure that led to Father McGivney's beatification. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You're tuned into Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo, talking about a Catholic guide to spending less and living more. And to share that story with us is the author Sam Fetzinger. Sam, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. So I know your financial success story with your husband, Rob, has been featured in many publications around the country. So what led you down this path in terms of focusing on finances? It's such an important topic and something that we're not taught in school, really, finances. So what led you and Rob down this path?
What led us was survival. We wanted to have a big family, and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so we knew to do that, we were going to have to, when we first got married, you know, learn to live on one income and learn how to pinch pennies wherever we could so that when our baby, who I got pregnant with on our honeymoon, was born, I'd be able to stay at home and live the dream that I always wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. I just wanted to be a mom. And so it wasn't really a plan. It was just like a survival method of learning how to, you know, sacrifice and take serious consideration into what we were spending our money on.
So how, you know, it's such an important lesson too, because as I said, we're not taught this in school, you know, on how to manage our money and live within our means. So when you talk about a Catholic guide to spending less and living more, what, tell us about the premise of the book.
So the interesting thing is every family has a different goal or different priorities. So we've talked to many families who have, you know, their Catholic education is important to them. So they learn to, you know, simplify buying new cars or simplify spending a lot of money on groceries or simplify their vacation so they can spend more on the Catholic education. Or some families want to buy all natural food, homegrown, or you know, healthier options for their family. And so they're spending more money on groceries, and they're spending less on other areas. It's just kind of what the family feels like what's best for them. Where my husband and I, we don't eat out. We every little penny we can into, you know, paying off debt. And so the reason why our family story went viral is because my husband paid off our house 12 years ago. We have no debt. He's 56 years old, and he's retiring this year. And, you know, we have 14 children, 12 that we gave birth to, and number 13 we adopted, and we took him in our home. And then we took in another number 14 as a foster child, and we've had him for 5 years. And we wouldn't have been able to really feel comfortable making those decisions to saying yes to having these children come into our home if we were drowning in debt or if we could barely take care of the 12 that God had given us. And so Every family has their own story. But, you know, I love being Catholic is so great because we've learned to offer it up and to sacrifice and to suffer and use those opportunities to grow in virtue and to leave our family a legacy and to be good stewards of our money. It's God's money first. And this money, tithing has been such a gift to our family because we've taken our little tithe and seen God make it so fruitful. And God has always provided for us, baby after baby. We opened our own business, hardly making any money. And so God kept giving us all the things that we needed. We ended up buying a foreclosure of everyone's like, how can you have 14 children? Do you live in a mansion? And we're like, no, we found a foreclosure in my dream neighborhood. My mom used to always tease about finding the worst house in the nicest neighborhood.
Yeah.
We did that. And I'm the youngest of nine, and my parents were raised during the Depression. So, thank God my mom raised me with, make do, do it out, and just simplify everything and, always utilize everything you have in your home. Like, you don't need to buy everything new. It's just been a really huge blessing to me that my husband has been on board with this and being open to, God's will for our family, God's will for our finances.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned what you were taught as your mom about, how she taught you to live with less, live more with less. It was a childhood lesson you learned. How important is it for us to teach our kids that? I was saying earlier that, with my own daughter, actually with my daughter, my two of my nieces, Sam, that I bought them this little piggy bank one year, many years ago, and it was broken up in a third, and it was like a third save, a third spend, a third share. I mean, charitable giving, give to others. And, and I thought it was a great way to teach her when she earned money or got money as gifts to divide her money up. And so we taught her that, to divide it up. And then anytime she got up to $100 in the save category, we put it in the bank for her. And so I just think it's so important to teach our kids at a young age how to manage money, how to manage our time and our money.
Yes, that's a fantastic tool. We have those piggy banks also. I also found recently that getting your kids more involved into every family has their own story. Like, what is it that your family really feels like you're ministering to? Is it a pro-life group? Is it someone in your town? We had a family in our town who's adopted three severely handicapped children from another country. And so when we put a name on that jar during Lent or, the money, we're giving this money to this family because they were willing to sacrifice so much to adopt these children. Or, I just found out about a wonderful organization that helps with human trafficking, or is it a group that, helps the homeless? Or, what is God putting right in front of your face in your town, in your parish? As a family, deciding that is huge. Another reason why people loved our family story is because our kids were graduating from college debt-free. Now, that's a huge, huge problem right now in our world with school being so much. And the way our family does it is our kids go to community college for 2 years, and then they go to a state school, so they're not paying out-of-state tuition. And our kids have learned, and they pay for it all themselves, so they've learned from a young age to save money, get the jobs, doing the dog walking and the lawn mowing and the snow shoveling and all of that. And they've learned to put that money aside and can decide, do I really need these new pairs of, shoes, or do I really need to go out to McDonald's or to Chick-fil-A again? Like, no, I'm going to have to, my older kids are always telling the younger kids, you're going to have to pay for your phone. You're going to have to pay for your gas and your car. I have nine who are driving, and they all bought their own car before they were 16 because they had saved up their money, and they all pay for their own college. They all pay for their own cell phones. They all pay for their own gas. And, people ask, how do you do it? And my husband and I laugh. Well, we're really, really mean. We just found out yesterday we're expecting our 10th grandchild, and our older kids are really doing an amazing job living debt-free now as adults. And we, you know, we're like, well, I guess our mean theory has turned out to be raise these amazing adults. And so we still have 6 at home, and we're praying to God that they'll grow up as amazing. But it's really hard right now, and just teaching kids, you know, wants versus needs.
Yeah, we have to take a break, Sam. We got to take a break. Sorry to cut you off. We're talking with Sam Fatzinger, the author of The Catholic Guide to Spending Less and Living More with Ave Maria Press. We'll be right back after the break to continue our conversation with Sam.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread, meaning me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, oh yeah, I know that passage? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
We're talking about The Catholic Guide to Spending Less and Living More with the author Sam Fatzinger. And, you know, I want to ask you, Sam, because I think this is a great Christmas gift, a great holiday stocking stuffer gift for family. So how do we get the book?
So you can get it from Ave Maria Press, or you can get it from Amazon. It's under, you know, Sam and Rob Fatzinger. And I know finances has got so many specific questions. So people can contact me on Facebook. I'm under Sam Lancaster Fatzinger. They can contact me on Instagram. I'm under Sam JMJ. Send me messages. We also have a website called fatsam.com. You can download 3 chapters that were our book was too big, so we put them for free. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's how we do weddings, how we do food, and how we do college. And those are free. You just download them, no obligation. And if you're, you know, doing a study or something, this is a good graduation present. This is a good wedding present, engagement present, whatever. It's really, we've been happy that a lot of people have been saying how easy it is to read, and there's really good advice. But there's a really good it's kind of specifically an organizational tool for families to use or young people to use to try to like think outside the box in ways that you can save more.
Yeah, I love that idea. I love that idea of all the tips, because we all have certain expenses, right? And in my community, we're invited to so many weddings. It's unbelievable how many weddings we're invited to, parties and events we're invited to. I'm from the Middle East, a Chaldean community, and we are just invited to constant parties. But I wanted to get back to your point about charitable giving and finding an organization that's really near and dear to your heart. We adopt a family during Christmas every year, and we always had our daughter help buy the gifts and deliver the gifts. And I can't tell you what an impact that made on her life, teaching her the importance of giving to others, you know, giving back. And I remember on the way driving to drop off these gifts, she was giving me her list of what she wanted for Christmas, which was all these really expensive electronics, you know. And I'm just listening to her, and we get to the house, and then she's delivering these gifts with me, and she whispers in my ear, she goes, "Mom, where's the rest of their house?" And I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Where's the rest of the house?" I go, "Honey, this is the house." She goes, "This one room is the whole house?" And I said, "Yeah, this is." She goes, "They live just like this. This is just their whole house." And I said, "Yeah." And as we were giving the kids the gift, the kids were so excited, and they kept looking at us saying, "Is this really for us? Is this really for us?" And we left there. Sam, my daughter, I'm going to cry, because we were on our way home, and she said, "Mom, I'm going to cry." She goes, "I don't want any gifts for Christmas." She goes, "Just give everything you were giving me to these kids."
Yes. And that is where it hits home. I mean, we can teach our kids so much, but until you bring it right in front of them, you know, we are blessed in our town that we don't have, you know, homeless people on this corner and stuff. And we do, you know, the make a meal once a month with our church, but our kids don't see that. And so it's not until you find that, name it, you know, not until you show them or help them, whatever it is. Each family has a different way of doing that. But, like, that is an amazing thing. It's, you know, it's great when you pick an angel on a tree, but the kids don't see those people. So you having your daughter get to bring it to them. About 8 years ago, my husband, you know, did one of those adopt a kid from another country type of thing where you send, you know, money. And the kids don't really understand, but they see his picture and they know it's when sends us letters. You know, he calls us, they're his godparents, you know. And we've been doing it for 7 years, so we've watched him grow. And I'm so glad we kept doing it, because, you know, one time, you know, wouldn't have meant a lot to our family, but getting to see him grow and send us notes, it's been really amazing.
So, you know, Sam, what is your advice for people listening who just say, you know, "I just can't do it"? I mean, you're the parents of 14 children on your 10th grandchild, and a lot of people feel like, "Well, I can't have more than two kids, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, because I just can't afford it." And they get scared, and they don't know how to manage their money. What's, like, the first step they need to take?
I kind of joke and I tell people, remember my name, Sam, and I say S stands for sacrifice, suffering, you know, try to be sensible, and then A is in my name is for ask for help. Now, that is a really hard one for people, because a lot of my friends are really shy and would never ask anything, but before we buy something, I ask my brothers and sisters, "Hey, you know, does anybody have a coffee maker?" Or then I ask my neighbors, "Hey, you know," and usually 9 out of 10 times people are like, "Oh, here, this has been in my garage. I've been trying to get rid of it." Or I go on my Facebook group and I'll be like, "Hey, you know, my son wants a skateboard. Does anybody have one?" And they're like, "Oh, thank God. I've been, you know, tripping over this thing in the garage." And I have 9 sons. So I have boys who every week decide they want to be a professional something. So, you know, we go through the baseball stuff and the basketball stuff. And I'm not spending full price for that for them in a week to tell me they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So we kind of have this system in our neighborhood where we're all kind of, you know, pass it on. Okay, here, you take the rollerblades, I'll take the skateboard, you take, you know, it's so good for everybody. It's good for the kids. You're not going to just go out and buy. And then, you know, I'm a big thrift store person, and I you know, my husband was laughing because he stopped drinking coffee, and so I gave his coffee maker away. And then I made the mistake of, we had a priest stop by yesterday, and I was like, "Bye, would you like a cup of coffee?" And he's like, "Sure." And my husband's like, "You gave my coffee maker away." Oh. So I just happened to be going to the thrift store to pick up something for my grandson, and I found this coffee maker, and I, you know, it was like four bucks, and I grabbed it. And my husband, when he got home, he's like, "This is like a $40 coffee maker, you know, brand new. Like, it's such a simple machine, but like, you can just get it." And it was practically brand new. It wasn't, you know, dirty or gross. But people just need to think outside the box. And I tell people, everybody has money problems. You either have too much or too little, or you don't know what to do with what you have. And really begging God, so asking God for help, asking God to help you. You know, just making that, you know, when I said S for sacrifice, making that small sacrifice, not getting that coffee every day. You know, save it for a feast day or save it for a special day. You know, we have to stop thinking that we owe it to ourselves to, you know, "Oh, you got a goal at soccer today. We're going to go and get you a Slurpee." No, you got a goal in soccer today. Good for you. Or after soccer practice, we're all going to, you know, we're going to go get you an ice cream. I'm like, no, the fact that we pay for you to play soccer, that's the treat. Like, it's just, we need to change our mindset, especially for those who are drowning in debt. You know, it's so hard right now. And I know so many families just can't get their minds around it. It's just, and with the economy and everything in the past couple of years, you know, it's funny, Ave Maria Press asked us to write this book in March, and then here we go, we have this pandemic where people are going to need to learn how to save money.
Well, we got to let you go, Sam Fatzinger. Thank you so much for joining us. The book is with Ave Maria Press, A Catholic Guide to Spending Less and Living More. We'll be right back after the break, everyone.
God bless.
Thank you, Sam.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
If you have sustained conversation with non-Catholic Christians, one of the things that always comes up is, why do you confess to a priest? Why would you go to a priest when you can go straight to God? I would say, well, look, I went to Jesus, I looked at his word, and it told me to go to a priest. It is interesting, one of the first things you notice right towards the end of the Gospel of John, that Jesus himself determined to forgive and retain sins through human intermediaries. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And Jesus commissioned his apostles on earth to speak in his name, to forgive sins or retain sins, not just metaphorically, but metaphysically.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith And please God, the faith of everyone here is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hello and welcome to The Crux of the Matter. I'm Father Wade Menezes. If there's one doctrinal teaching of the Catholic Church that stands out particularly strong in this modern day and age, a teaching that everybody seems to know, both Catholics and non-Catholics alike, whether they agree with it or not, it's the teaching that priestly ordination is reserved to men alone. But this time-honored doctrine, held by the Church since the time of Christ and His apostles, in no way militates against the dignity of women, their natural gifts or vocation, nor is the fact that women are ineligible to receive the sacrament of holy orders to be viewed as a reflection against their universal call to holiness, to which all persons are called. In modern times, the Church has repeatedly and definitively reiterated the reasons why the sacrament of holy orders can be received only by men. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic letter on reserving priestly ordination to men alone, quotes Pope Paul VI in stating some of these reasons, including the example recorded in the sacred scriptures of Christ choosing his apostles only from among men, the constant practice of the Church, which has imitated Christ in choosing only men, and her living teaching authority, which has consistently held that the exclusion of women from the priesthood is in accordance with God's plan for his Church. In actual fact, then, the Church concludes that she is not authorized to admit women to priestly ordination. In other words, the Church herself cannot change this teaching. She has not the authority to do so. And this is because the Church recognizes herself to be bound, as it were, by this choice made by the Lord Himself. A choice, mind you, which He made freely, since He shows Himself time and time again in the Gospels to not have been subject to the prevailing customs or social conditions of His time. This has been The Crux of the Matter, and I'm Father Wade Menezes. God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. Here this morning, tens of thousands of families across the United States are devastated each year by the death of their baby. Loss, a child in stillbirth, miscarriage, SIDS, or any other cause at any other point during pregnancy or infancy. The grief of these families and the value of their babies' lives are not often acknowledged. In 1988, U.S. President Ronald Reagan declared October as a month to recognize the unique grief of bereaved parents in an effort to demonstrate support to the many families who have suffered such a tragic loss. October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And to talk with us about that is Dr. Michael Lena Fredenberg, President and CEO of Life Perspectives. Doctor, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I know that you guys are a global authority of reproductive grief care. So tell us how you got involved in and formed Life Perspectives.
For me, it actually came from a loss that I had myself. And I had felt so alone and isolated and really afraid to talk to people about it. And it really started from that experience and beginning to wonder perhaps others felt similarly. And they do. And, you know, I didn't realize that there are so many people who are impacted by a reproductive loss like miscarriage. So we believe about 1 out of 4 pregnancies ends in miscarriage. So that would be about 1 million miscarriages in the United States alone each year. And so you can just imagine the number of people, and yet they often feel like they're the only ones, and they suffer silently and alone.
I can personally attest to that. I had 2 miscarriages before I had my daughter, and it's really tough. People don't – I never thought about how much I would grieve. I've heard women having miscarriage before I had mine, and you don't realize it until you go through it. The grieving process, the first miscarriage was really early on in the pregnancy, and it didn't hit me as hard until I had the second miscarriage, which was, I was 4 months pregnant. and I knew I was having a boy. And that it's really difficult, and people don't know that, how tough that is. And I remember, Dr. Michaelina, the baby did not expel itself. I had to go in for a DNC. Mm-hmm. And I remember going in, and I was crying and crying and crying, and I begged the nurse to give me another ultrasound to make sure the baby was gone. And they looked at me like I was crazy, you know?
Oh.
And I just said, no, I just have to be sure. And they're like, no, you know, you're not getting another ultrasound. And I kept crying, and the doctor walked in, and she's another fellow Catholic. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, I need to know that the baby's really gone. I just can't go through this. And she said, Vanessa, I would never take your baby out if it was a living baby. And I said, yeah, but I need to know. And she said, okay, give her the ultrasound. And the nurses were so upset. And they're like, listen, if this gives her peace of mind, let her have the ultrasound. And I just had to see for a second time that the heartbeat was gone. But yeah, and I still think about the miscarriages all the time. I ask for my babies in heaven to pray for my daughter right now. So we don't really think about that, doctor, until you go through it yourself.
It's true, and I'm so sorry to hear about your losses, and then also that you encountered professionals who hadn't been trained in how to really, those aspects of it, which unfortunately we often encounter that too. So it's already a traumatic experience, and then there's increased trauma because of the lack of education that's there. And I think too, then we don't think about how, you know, the partners impacted and other family members. And so it's so wonderful that you're talking about this right now, so that others will know they're not alone. And so also for us to know how to support each other, to be able to say that I'm sorry for your loss, or send a card, bring a meal, provide some sort of gift to memorialize the loss of that child.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I wish I had known then, Dr. Michaelina Friedenberg, is that I didn't know that I could have had my baby buried the second pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I was really upset after the fact. I'm like, I wish I had known that. I wish I knew that I could have buried the baby. But I think that it's such important for people going through that, people listening, if that ever happens to you or anybody you know, have the baby buried.
You know, yeah, absolutely. That's something at Life Perspectives that we are trying to change within the healthcare community, so that there could be that type of education and those options that would be given to parents, because often that becomes those haunting kind of what ifs in your mind. And it's so important for us to feel like there's a place to go, and for us to know that our children will be remembered. They're not going to be forgotten.
Yeah, amen to that. So I want to ask you before we take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation, but tell me about the work that you do on a regular basis with Life Perspectives, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So we certainly were involved in grief care education, whether that's healthcare professionals or faith leaders or just all of us. We have different options based upon the type of support that we like to be able to offer to individuals. We also then are really a hub for research in this area. There's a real lack of understanding and research, and so we're doing our best to fill those gaps in. And then also providing, we have like healing websites for people who are impacted. Miscarriagehurts.com would be one of those, and we've developed special toolkits as well that are available on lifeperspectives.com. Again, I think we often have those questions of what should I say or what things should I avoid saying to somebody who's impacted. So we really try to provide resources just for everybody.
Yeah. And so what are some of the resources? You know, we're going to take a break. I want to ask you after the break, Dr. Michaelina, some of the resources that are most needed today for these people, you know, mourning the loss of their children. We'll be right back here on Catholic Connection. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Dr. Michaelina Friedenberg.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live-streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the Live-Stream Football button. The Gyrenes' homecoming opponent will be the Weber Warriors, game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Michael Lena Friedenberg, President and CEO of Life Perspectives, the global authority of reproductive grief care. And Dr. Michael Lena, before we took a break, we were talking about the resources. What are the most widely used and needed resources today?
Well, and it's going to depend, of course, on each individual. And I think it's good for us to even just recognize that everybody's experience is going to be unique. And the way that we process and the way that we grieve is going to be very unique as well. I mean, there really isn't any timeline or right or wrong way to go about that. So whether your loss was yesterday or last year or 50 years ago, we're all in a different place with that process. And so some of the resources that we provide that aid in that is really even just what I talked about, letting people know they're not alone. And whatever your experience and emotions are okay. That's your experience, and it's going to be different, and it's likely going to be look very different within families. Mm. And when we know that, that really helps us, because we tend to judge, we tend to think people are grieving, you know, too short, too long, too much, too little, and yet everyone's experience will be unique. And when we can respect that. And understand that our connection to that child is going to be different, and then our personalities are different, the way we can support each other. But also I had mentioned miscarriagehurts.com. So it's wonderful to have a digital resource that you can go to 24/7 and learn that you're not alone, begin to work through some activities that help with the grieving process, like identifying your emotions, your losses. Maybe you want to share your story anonymously or read someone else's story, or find maybe a virtual support group or a support group that's in your area, if that would be helpful.
You know, that's a really good point, the support groups. I know locally in Michigan, ECRC, the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center, started a support group for parents who've lost a baby to miscarriage.
Yes. And it's so wonderful to have those options. Again, learning that you're not alone. And I think sometimes, you know, we're all different in our grieving. And some people, we really need to talk about it. And we need to talk about it a lot. And so we don't want to burn out the people around us. And so having a support group is really wonderful in that instance. For others, they like to go and just and listen and all of that. You know, it's going to be different for each person. Also, we really seen in research, but I think, you know, we can all probably think of anecdotally of someone we know, that because our culture doesn't tend to acknowledge the loss through miscarriage, acknowledge those children, parents really fear that their children will be forgotten. And because of that, we tend to tenaciously hang on to our pain or our grief, or maybe we feel guilty for some reason because we don't have this sense that others will remember with us. And so we have memorial items on lifeperspectives.com, but of course, you know, we could all find those type of meaningful items in many different areas, whether it's a pin or a bracelet or a candle, a statue, something that we can give. And in that day that we're remembering with you, and it becomes this symbol, and that becomes really important. And you mentioned as well that you didn't realize that you could bury the remains of your child, and you are not alone in that. That's most people would fall into that category. But so I think that the church can really step in and perhaps at least annually have a special service, a special memorial service, so that we can come and we can memorialize together. Or maybe there's a special place, you know, in the garden or the courtyard where there could be a fountain or a place to maybe in you know, engrave like a rock, or have a statue, or again, we can memorialize together, and as a community, we can remember those children and support each other.
Thank you. So, that's wonderful advice. I love it. Give out your website because we got to let you go. We're seconds left.
Yes. It's lifeperspectives.com.
Lifeperspectives.com. Dr. Michaelina Friedenberg, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection. And thanks for tuning in, everyone. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. Go out and make it a wonderful day. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.